I can do it. Oh, because I'm not chair type, so.
Yes, I do.
Okay, recording. Are we ready to record?
Eric.
There is a quorum. The meeting has been duly called, and the notice of the meeting has been posted for a time and in the matter specified by law. It is being audio recorded and will appear on the internet. Will you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Which we have a flag over there. Over here. We got two. You got choices.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Can we get the roll call then again?
Deering, Chris
Bovard.
Yes.
Paul
Plater. Present.
Heidi Welch.
Not present.
Jeff Morris.
Here.
Michael Kenny. From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Present.
Danielle Moore. Eric Hodges.
Here.
Tyler Garvey.
Present.
Laura Patel.
Here.
From Windsor, Cynthia Stos. Karen Turbine.
Here.
Becky Bossi.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any correspondence?
We do not have any correspondence.
No correspondence. Okay. So now it's time for a public forum. Opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or a concern with the board. A reminder that this is the SAU board, not the Hillsborough Deering board. So make sure that it is necessary for the SAU board and not the Hillsborough Deering board. It is limited to five minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. I open the floor. Anybody that needs to make a public comment? Seeing none, new business. The proposed, 23-24 budget presentation.
All right, so I am going to ask Grant Geisler, our business manager, to review with you the chart. And everybody, there is a slightly updated version of the chart than what was in your packet. So thank you, Grant.
And so one thing got corrected, one thing didn't. The header, I think, still says 22-23 budget, which would be wrong. It should be 23-24 budget.
Carol's gotcha.
Never mind. What you have that you were handed today is the difference is that one column that's highlighted in yellow on the heading, it says percentage difference. That was a bad formula. It was pulling from two prior years ago budget. So the percentage difference is the only thing that changed from what you were sent. So what I'm going to do, since there aren't a whole lot of lines on here, I'm going to go line by line. And if there's a difference between the proposed 24 budget, which is kind of that burnt orange column maybe, and the alternative FY24 column, which is the kind of purplish all the way to the right. If there's a difference between those two, I'll explain why the difference is there. So we're going to start out with the superintendent line, the first line. So that's 128,000. That's in both columns. That number is the same because that is a contract that's already in place, not only for next year, but the year after, too. So, get comfortable, Jen. So that shows savings because of turnover. Assistant superintendent, that's not a line that we've used for quite some time. Business manager, that's me. That shows an increase because of turnover. So those two numbers, the proposed and the alternate, are the same because I also have a multi-year contract. Administrative staff, that would be three folks in there. That's Carol, Therese, and Lynn. One of those folks has a contract for multi-year, and the other two folks are hourly. They don't have a contract for FY24. That is why there's a difference. The contracted person, that their number is the same in both of those columns, but the hourly folks, the alternative budget has no increase in hourly rate because it's the alternative budget. The proposed budget does include an increase, and to be entirely transparent, that percentage increase is 4%, which is a bit more than usual, but the Hillsborough Dearing support staff contract that we just approved was over that percentage, so, and with inflation the way it is, it seemed like a fair percentage. So that's the number we have there. Director of Curriculum, Instruction, and Assessment, the number is the same in both columns. It is a decrease from the 23 amount due to turnover. That's a new person in that position. Director of Student Support Services, the number is the same in both columns, and that is showing a minor increase, but that is just an inflationary amount based on the multi-year contract that was offered and accepted. Bookkeepers is really a very bad title for that, but that is our accounts payable and payroll function. So that is two folks that work for me, Rebecca Minicello and Annette Dolbert, who are both in the back. There is a difference between the alternative and the proposed because both of those folks are hourly. They don't have a multi-year contract, so the alternative is basically keeping their salary, their hourly rate, the same. The proposed is a 4% increase. Health insurance buyout. There's a difference there because the alternate include is basically what the FY23 budget was. It matches what was approved, what's currently in our budget. The proposed is $6,000 higher because of the people who currently are employed who have insurance buyout. For example, I wouldn't have been included in the FY23 amount of $18,000. But since I am here now and I do take the buyout, I had to calculate that in. So the bad news is the buyout went up $5,000 for me. The good news is health insurance went down about $20,000 because of me. So you're welcome.
So that, thank can you. I have a question on that? It
yeah.
shows a lower amount though too. Am I looking at that correct line?
The health insurance buyout, so this year's budget was $18,000. The 24 proposed is 24, so it's going up.
I was looking at the one below, sorry.
Yeah, the one below, yeah, good transition. That's good news. So health insurance this year is $150,000 was approved, so that's what I carried over into the alternative budget, $150,000. The good news is, as I referenced, I get a buyout, but I'm not taking health insurance. So we had, because of personnel turnover, we had a few of those incidents where people took the buyout instead of taking health insurance. So while the buyout is a little bit higher, the actual health insurance line is much lower. And that $107,000 is basically taking everybody and what their current coverage is and multiplying it by the guaranteed maximum rate, which we got. And there's some good news there, too. I mean, it depends on whether you're optimistic or pessimistic. Our guaranteed maximum rate increase for health insurance was 5.5%, which, I mean, that sounds like maybe it's high, but there are other districts that are dealing with, like, teen percent increases. Yeah. So it's based on experience, and we must have done pretty well. So 5.5 is not awesome, but it's pretty good.
Can I ask a new person question?
Sure.
So proposed budget is what we are you're trying to propose, obviously. Alternative is if that doesn't pass, we have a backup plan, like the minimum that kind of
correct.
Okay.
And it's all like the Hillsborough Dearing folks kind of, they have something similar. They have a proposed budget and a default budget.
Okay.
This is kind of like a default budget.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of idea. So if the proposed budget doesn't pass, then we get the alternate budget.
Places we could go down if needed.
Well, what's interesting is because of the health insurance issue, our proposed budget is lower than the alternative budget.
Right.
But we'll get to that.
Sorry, jumping ahead.
So it's based on the numbers that were in the current budget, the alternative.
The next line down is dental insurance. Once again, I took the amount that was approved in 23, and that's showing up in the alternative. But when you calculate the actual coverages, the actual amount is a little bit lower, $11,432. Life insurance is those rates didn't go up. So it's 14 cents per thousand for life, 2 cents per thousand for accidental death and disability. So when I do the math there, you get 1345, which is a little bit lower than this year's budget and what's in the alternative. Long-term disability, we did the actual math on that as well. And while this year's budget is 2,000 and the alternative is 2,000, I believe 1644 is the amount that we would need based on current staffing. FICA and Medicare, that is just taking the total salary lines and multiplying by 7.65%. So it's the same calculation whether you're in the alternate budget or the proposed budget. I'm looking at all the salaries, multiplying by 7.65. Similarly, the New Hampshire retirement is looking at all the salaries and multiplying by 13.53%. And that is interesting because right now, this year, it's actually 14.06. So the New Hampshire retirement percentage went down from 23 to 24. So that is another case where the proposed budget is actually a little lower than the alternative. 403B, there's five folks that qualify for a $1,000 contribution into 403B. That's remains constant. So this current year is 5,000, the proposed is 5,000, the alternate is 5,000. And then course reimbursements, we left that level as well, 5,000 for this year, 5,000 would be obviously the alternative. So we just left 5,000 in the proposed, hoping that that is sufficient. Unemployment compensation, that amount is pretty much where we need it to be. 22, the actual for 22 was a little low, but in 23, we're assuming it's going to be about 600. The budget is 750, so I just left it level. Liability and workers' comp, we left that level at 5,000, so the proposed and the alternative are the same. Professional development and training, that's one where I bumped it up a little bit from 6,400 to 7,200. We could use that for different things, but one of the valuable things is the New Hampshire,
New Hampshire School Administrators Association.
They have what they call a season ticket that's like $2,700. So if you buy a season ticket, you can go to all the training they offer all year long. And for example, if Jen can go to three of them and there's two that I want to go to, I can go to those two with the same season ticket. So what we did was we just took that 2,700 times three season tickets. We may only buy two and use the rest for other things, like I have a New Hampshire Association of School Business Officials conference. Maybe I'd use that instead of buying three season tickets, would buy two and then let people do their own thing for another conference. But we thought $7,200 made sense. The alternative is just $6,400 because that's what's approved this year. Contracted professional services, this year the budget is $63,500, so that's the alternative amount. We bumped that up to $65,000. One of the big expenses in this line is our HR and finance software. And that will go up about $2,500, I think, $2,000 to $2,500. We only bumped this up by about $1,500, though, because we think we can have some savings in hopefully some other places. The reason why that number is higher than the FY22 actuals is because in FY23, we eliminated a part-time position in the business office and shifted that to contracted service, which I am extremely thankful for because that's what's keeping me alive right now, because I've hired Gene Mogan to come back and help with me in the transition. So we wanted to protect that line as much as possible, but we only bumped it up $1,500. Audit and legal fees, it's 10,000. This year, 10,000 in the alternative. I bumped it up by about 3%, just in case, just a 3% inflationary factor. I think 10,300 should be enough. Equipment maintenance and repairs, $500. So that could be for any kind of equipment that we have that might be adjusted. You know, we have a fingerprinting machine now that might need some maintenance on. We have a DocStar system for scanning that might need maintenance. So those kinds of things. $500 is not a whole lot, but hopefully at least enough to get us close to what we might need. Copier equipment and lease, that number came down to $5,000 in FY23. I bumped it up just $100 in the proposed and obviously left it level in the alternate. You probably remember that copiers got moved from the SAU to Hillsborough Deering. So you might wonder what's left in here. That is the DocStar software that we use in the business office to scan all the paperwork so that we don't have storage buildings full of purchase orders, HR records, personnel files, that kind of stuff. The next line is office rental, so that is the rent that the SAU pays to Hillsborough Deering for the office space for the central office. And I'm assuming that stays level, so the alternate and proposed are both $40,000. Telephone services, last year when we built the budget, we got maybe a little bit anxious or ahead of ourselves. We shifted telephone costs to Hillsborough Deering, once again, as kind of the landlord responsibilities. But what we didn't think about at the time is that we do provide or reimburse for cell phones for some of our administrators. So by zeroing out that line, we eliminated the ability to provide that reimbursement. So we're putting back $2,400 in that line. The alternative budget is zero, obviously, because it was this year's budget was approved at zero. So,
and for those that weren't here last year when the telephone service shifted, just to make sure everybody understands how that worked and why that worked, is actual cost savings all the way around in order to do it that way and have it be included in the rent. It costs significantly less money to only run one phone system than to run two phone systems and to have it kind of tied in with the rent. And it was something that the Hillsborough Deering Board looked at closely to make sure it actually costs them less to have it included in the rent than it would have if we had the whole separate second system that we were doing and then the apportionment was part of that. So just to, I know not everybody was here at the time, so just, it was carefully examined last year, and much to everybody's relief, found it was those that were here remember this conversation. Yeah. But just to make sure everybody's on the same page with that.
It's a value proposition.
So,
I just had a question on the cell phone reimbursements. It's not necessarily the whole bill; it's a portion of the bill, correct? Is it up to a certain?
It is not the whole bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. It's why I wanted to ask that question.
$49.99
a month.
$49.99.
So it's a designated amount that's pre. Yeah.
Oh, so they don't actually get a cell phone? It's a
you can, or if it's like me, I have a cell phone and I just want to go ahead and use it for work, then I get reimbursed $49.99 per month. Or if I didn't want to use my personal cell phone for work, I could be provided a cell phone with that.
So it costs the district the same either way. It's just whether somebody wants to juggle two devices or not.
And obviously I made the right call this year since I only have one arm. Let's see.
You can't juggle.
So the rest of these lines are pretty small, so I'll probably run through them a little quicker. Postage, $4,000 this year, $4,000 in the alternate, $4,000 proposed, seems sufficient. Advertising, $1,100 was this year's budget. You can see by the FY22 actuals that we spent more than that, so I bumped that up to $2,000. But the alternative is still $1,100 because that's what we have this year. Printing expenses, $400 seems reasonable, even when you look at actuals from last year, at $400. Travel, $7,000 is what's approved this year. I kept it level in both the alternate and proposed. If you look at the actuals, it seems like it's a lot, it's more money than we need, but the fact is, you've got to remember, still COVID impacts from the prior year, so we're actually able to do some traveling now. Yeah. Supplies, this year is $11,000. I bumped that up to 12 in the proposed, left it level at 11 for the alternative. As you all know, inflation is hitting everything, so supply costs are going up. I didn't want to go up more than 1,000 because we did bump it up a little bit this year. So hopefully just a $1,000 increase will be sufficient. Books and periodicals, 750. That's based, looks like it's based on actuals, and that's what we have this year. I kept it level. Computer equipment, $2,000. So there's 9 of us in the central office. So basically, maybe 1.5 of us can get a new computer each year. If Neil gets a good deal, maybe 2 of us. But I just left it at 2,000 across the board. Furniture and fixtures, the budget this year is $500, and so the alternate's 500. I am trying to bump it up to at least 1,000 in the proposed budget because I'm not sure what kind of equipment you can really get for $500 these days. So I think it just makes sense. Equipment should be something with a unit cost of at least $500 anyway. So I'm thinking if somebody needs it, if somebody's desk breaks and you can't get a desk for, well, maybe you need a desk for $500, but not much else.
Not one that's not going to break.
Let's see.
No particle board.
The last 3 lines, so we're getting close. Dues and fees. This year's budget, $8,625. I left it level at $8,625 for both the proposed and alternate. We may have a few less memberships. You know, we may belong to a few less organizations, but I think the rates, you know, will go up to accommodate that. So we just left it level. Board contingency, $200, just in case you need it for something, whether that be food for something or printing something, well, not printing, but some kind of expense that wasn't anticipated, a couple $100 is what you've got available to you, and I left it level. Academic recognition, you can see there's no actual expenses in 22. There was an approved budget this year of $5,000. We are eliminating that in the proposed budget as a shift to Hillsborough Deering. But the alternative budget still has the $5,000 because that's what's part of this year's budget. I don't know if you wanted to say anything about that.
And just to explain the reason why it actually should be pushed down to Hillsborough Deering and not in the SAU budget. So the academic recognition is a program that recognizes students who are middle and high school students. And so the contribution that Washington and Windsor make toward that as a student program comes from the tuition that's covered in the, it should be covered in the tuition costs of tuitioning the student into the district, and it's a Hillsborough Deering thing.
Superintendent's Club?
Called the Superintendent's Club, okay. And so on the face of it, for a very long time, this is where it rested, and that makes sense, but upon, this is something Patty and I were looking at last year, and really, like, that actually should be a Hillsborough Deering expense that's supported through the tuition costs because it's a student program and not an administrative program. The SAU, the purpose of the SAU is to administer the districts and not the student programs. And so that's why the shift is there. And that seemed to make sense.
And there were no expenses in 22, so I'm not sure if there just weren't any expenses needed or whether those expenses already are residing in Hillsborough.
Working on getting them shifted to where they belong.
So that is all of the lines in the budget. If you just look at the total, so you see this year's budget was $1,529,921. The alternate budget is about $7,000 higher. The proposed budget is actually almost $25,000 lower. $5,000 because of what we just talked about with academic recognition. But the big reason is the savings in health insurance, and that is just purely based on turnover in personnel and what people need. So It's interesting to have a proposed budget that's significantly lower than the alternate budget, but I guess it's not a bad place to be. And if you have any questions, we do have another slide, but I think I'll stop here for a second to see if anybody else has any other questions on this page.
I'll go first, I guess. Grant, can you spend a little more time on the contracted professional services line item? Looking at previous years, right, being at 33.5, doubling that, understanding for the transition into your new or into this role, but also keeping that the same amount next year. Just trying to understand, is there still that additional individual to assist with the transition into next year, or is there other expenses that are going in there?
There could be others. So the savings initially was in the business office. We had a part-time person. And I could sit here and make a real passionate argument that I could use that half-time person.
I can explain what the thinking was last year, because this proposal was before we knew that there was going to be a change in personnel.
Gotcha.
So that it was that we don't need a half-time position, but there are different points during the year where the business office needs an extra person to come in for short-term things. It has worked out amazingly well this year, because the first time that we needed an extra person to come in was right away.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And remembering that we were down a position, that we had a change in the business office as well, that we had a longtime employee leave, and that position was open for about 6 weeks before we were able to hire our new person. So. Yeah, the need this year is different than the need will be in other years, but the plan was to, instead of having a part-time person all of the time, when that's not what the workflow needed, the workflow needs the ability to have a contracted person for short periods of time at various points during the year.
And it might not be the business office that needs it next year. It could be some other turnover in a different office and they need it. But I will tell you that about half of that requirement is our Tyler Infinite Visions HR and finance software. So about half of it is related to this position that's available for contracted service. So like next year, I may not need as much help, but I probably still will bring somebody in when I'm slammed with DOE 25s, MS 25s, that kind of stuff, to get a little bit of help. But it could be that we have turnover in another area. So it's just smart to hold on to that, and then if we don't need it, then it just goes into a surplus.
Sure. Yep. Well, yeah. Thank you. That's actually all I had.
No. Eric.
Does anyone else have questions?
Hold on, you have questions.
Anyone coming around?
I just had a question about what is the line? It's like the professional development. I don't remember which line, what we called it here.
290.
Development and training?
Yes. So does that include all PD hours for license retention? Or is it just?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Like, for example, well, a lot of the courses that we are going to will count towards me getting my certification, if that's what you're discussing. And I assume that it would be available for, you know, teachers, superintendents, CIA position, superintendent's position, to be able to maintain their certifications.
It's professional development opportunities for people to, and we use that to maintain licensure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's not the only. I mean, I have four certifications, so that those funds don't get applied when I'm maintaining my grades 5 through 12 social studies teacher. I refuse to give up certification, so it wouldn't be used for that. But
okay.
Unless it was a crossover.
Well, I can go to the next page, and if somebody thinks of something, you can circle back. So the next page,
which is in your packet, next page,
you didn't get the handout, because there were miraculously no mistakes on that. Yes, this smaller chart. The smaller chart, what this is it just talks about the assessment and the calculations for the assessment.
Okay.
So it starts with the total budget. I have FY23's budget, the proposed, and the alternative. What I've done is I've subtracted out then the revenues that we have within the SAU that don't need to be assessed out. And I should probably talk about that a little bit. For the past couple of years, probably, the only thing that's been subtracted is the fund balance. I've looked at the fund balance calculations, what we had as a result of finishing FY21, looking at what we need to set aside, because smartly, a few years ago, I think it was, $70,000 was basically assigned for not to be touched, so that it would be available for kind of cash flow, because on July 1st, we still have bills to pay, so if we had no money, we'd have trouble. So there's $70,000 that needs to be set aside for that. We also need to set aside whatever we have said we were going to use as a revenue source for the upcoming budget. So as I looked through that, the projected amount that I show that we would end like FY23 with to be able to carry forward into 24 was more like $30,000 to $35,000. So I'm obviously not recommending that you have a fund balance that you use of $50,000 if we don't think we're going to have $50,000. The good news is we haven't been backing out indirect costs. So when we use federal funds, we're allowed to charge an indirect cost percentage for the work that we do to execute those grants. That amount of money is easily $20,000. Last year it was closer to $30,000. I don't want to overestimate that, though. So what I've done is I've assumed we have $30,000 of fund balance. We can start bringing that down, and then that way we don't have a huge cliff. We don't have to go from 50 to zero. But I did want to bring it down some to be conservative, make sure we're not spending more than we have. And then I also wanted to bring in these indirect costs that we are able to obtain. So basically, we're keeping the same dollar amount that we can subtract out, $50,000. So then, once you subtract those two revenue sources, then you have the required SAU assessment that needs to be assessed to the districts. That next section, where there's like a blue highlight for the assessment percentages, that is by statute calculated. It's 50% of ADM. And 50% of, I'm trying to remember the exact way to use the words.
Equalized property
value. It's equalized property values?
It's equalized property value.
So it's the property value.
Trying to remember Mark's chart.
Like, almost like a grand list is kind of what we called it in Vermont. But it's 50% of property values and 50% weight towards ADM. So that is by statute. It is what it is. You can see what the percentage of were for 23. You can see what they are in 24. It's a wide column because that percentage applies regardless of whether it's proposed or alternative. But then that bottom line, you can see that the assessment amounts by district. So this year, Hillsborough-Deering is $1,023,000. In the proposed, it would be $1,005,700. Under the alternate, it would be $1,032,000. So in one case, you're lower, in one case, you're a little higher. For Washington, it goes from $172,000 down in either case, and down to $165,400 for the proposed, or $169,800 for the alternate. In Windsor, it's pretty level. It goes from $14,333 to $13,985 in the proposed, or $14,354 for the alternate. So I mean, we may not like the formula, but the formula is described by statute, and so it's just me finding those numbers and doing the math. The good news is the proposed budget, if approved, would result in every district having a lower assessment in FY20. So at this point, that's all I have for you. If you have any questions on either of those pages, I'll be glad to attempt to answer.
Any other questions? Okay. All right, Chris, do you have anything?
I
think I'm good so far. I asked as we're going, so I don't have anything at the moment.
Nobody?
All right. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you for illustrating the fund balance and the other revenues so nicely, because that was a really good explanation. Mm-hmm. Probably the easiest explanation I've heard in a few years. So. Coming from someone who's already been
talking. All right, so moving on to action items now. We have to approve our September 22, 2022, say that five times fast, meeting minutes that were so illustriously put together by Megan.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Excellent.
Second.
Motion by Jess Morris, seconded by Chris Bober. Any discussion? All in favor of accepting the meeting minutes from 9/22/2022?
Aye.
Aye.
We don't need a roll call for that.
We need a roll call.
We need a roll call for everything. Megan.
From Hillsborough, Darren, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Slater.
Yes.
Betty Welch.
Yes.
Jess Morris.
Yes.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Yes.
Danielle Moore.
Yes.
Eric Hodges.
Yes.
Tyler Garvin.
Should I abstain since I was not here at the prior meeting? I'll abstain.
Laura Botello.
Yes.
From Windsor, Karen Turbine.
Yes.
Yeah, just a quick question. I should have asked this before we voted, but on the weighted vote, there was under the superintendent's report, there was regular representation of votes versus weighted votes. Is the weighted vote going to be attached to the minutes somewhere? That's what I was looking for. Just for informational. Because we had discussed in the minutes.
We've already approved.
You just voted to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I should have done it before that.
We can attach the weighted vote formula to the current minutes. Would that work?
That would be fine. Thank you so much.
Megan?
That'll work.
Megan's nodding. We're good.
Cool. Thank you.
Carol's got it.
Carol's got it.
I was snoozing on that one.
It's already there.
It's already there.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
That's all I was asking.
That's right. Okay, moving on. Approval of the proposed fiscal year 2023-2024 SAU 34 budget for public hearing. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
I'll second.
Seconded. Is there discussion?
This is a nice job being put together by the business administrator and the superintendent, and it's modest and conservative, and you know, looks like it's going to cover what we need without taking too much away. So
I'm going to thank you, Chris. I'm going to start with Mr. Hodges. Mr. Hodges, do you have anything?
No, I don't.
And Karen, anything?
No.
All right, Jess.
Well, I appreciate that it went down. I think that's nice. I think it's conservative. I appreciated Grant's explanation, the clarity, the simplicity around it, because it is difficult when you're not used to numbers and all of this. I don't know that I necessarily agree with all of the smaller increases, but I don't think it's large enough to debate, I guess.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yep.
I agree with move to Paul later.
Yeah, I just want to say my son, for some reason, put his name on the license plate, Plater, and so I'm thankful that the budget is going down so it doesn't get egged or scratched.
Oh, Mr. Plater.
I was like, what is going?
Chris. Anything?
Nope.
Anything further?
As I said, it looks good based on where we're in, so thank you.
Tyler, anything? Aaron?
Nope, I also appreciate Grant the clarity and the explanation to go through it, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. Laura?
I would just second Aaron. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, same.
Excellent.
Excellent. So thank you. Now, so do we have a motion to all in favor of... Here's my notes. All in favor to approve the proposed fiscal year 2023-2024 SAU 34 budget for public hearing.
Aye.
I need your roll call.
That's a roll call.
Hello, Megan. Megan.
From Hillsborough, Deering, Chris Bober.
Yes.
Paul Plater.
Yes.
Teddy Welch.
Yes.
Jess Morris.
Yes.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Yes.
Danielle Moore.
Yes.
Eric Hodges.
Yes.
Tyler Garvin.
Yes.
Laura Botello.
Yes.
From Windsor, Karen Turbine.
Yes.
All Do we have, yay! Thank you again, Grant. That was wonderfully concise. If you want to do my books, just give me a call. Do we have a need for a non-public session?
We do not have a need for a non-public session.
However, I may not love you more.
I do want to point out that because you approved this for the public hearing, that means that we do not, looking at the timeline, we do not need to have the meeting on November 17th.
Forget I say except you're welcome.
So then the next meeting for the public budget hearing and then followed by the board meeting to look at the budget is scheduled for December 15th. Okay. And it is at that meeting. Remember that the SAU budget does not have deliberative session. We have the public budget hearing. And so that is where members of the public are welcome and encouraged to come and express their thoughts on the budget. And welcome and encouraged. Very much welcome and encouraged to do that. Because when we get to the deliberative session, that's only Hillsborough-Deering that can be discussed there, because that is a Hillsborough-Deering's deliberative session, and you as the SAU board are not present, therefore the SAU board cannot respond to any questions about the SAU budget, because the HD board is not empowered to speak on behalf of the full SAU board. So just kind of as a reminder of what those distinctions are, but thank you. You do not need to have a November 17th meeting.
Just erased it from the calendar.
That is all my pontificating for tonight.
Excellent. So I guess moving to the last thing on the agenda is, can I get a witness? I mean, a motion. I was going to say you.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank
second.
You.
I have a second.
Roll call.
Yes.
From Hillsborough, Darren, Chris Bovert.
Yes.
Paul Plater.
Yes.
Heidi Welch.
Yes.
Justin Moore.
Yes.
From Washington, Aaron Mills.
Yes.
Danielle Moore.
Yes.
Eric Hodges.
Yes.
Tyler Garvin.
Yes.
Laura Battello.
Yes.
From Windsor, Karen Turbine.
Yes.
And we're done. Nice. Anybody have any other questions? Go ahead.
Yes. Can you just talk about, I guess it's code 560. It's the tuition line. It just seems like a large amount. Is that on track, that 13% has been?
Yeah, it's a little early, because we haven't, as a matter of fact, from the other direction, we haven't billed for tuition yet. So some of those bills have not been coming in yet. I would say that the majority, if not all, of this tuition is likely special education outside placement.
Oh, I thought it was tuition reimbursement.
No, tuition reimbursement, which these are only expenses. So
okay.
we would be looking at that for on the revenue.
This is tuition that we pay. So sometimes special education placements.